Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Now, back to the 2019 MLB Winter Meetings. Presented by your San Diego Honda dealers on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Well, this is it, Woodsy. The last bit of business at the 2019 MLB Winter Meetings getting underway right now. The Rule 5 draft in a room just below our feet. The Detroit Tigers with the first pick. And they have taken Garrett Cole from the Yankees.
Oh, man, what a drag. That was
immediately told that's not how the Rule 5 draft
that
is, works.
That was fun while it lasted. We barely knew you, Garrett.
Bummer. So you can only take guys who weren't protected on the 40-man roster who have had at least 5 years of eligibility in the minor leagues for guys who were signed out of college. 6 years for guys who were signed out of high school. Padres have a couple of guys that could be on the radars of other teams. They're not going to take anyone. They don't have room on the 40-man roster to stick anyone right now. They'd have to release someone. Esteury Ruiz is a second baseman who was not protected, is exposed to the Rule 5 draft right now. Buddy Reed, who I remember seeing play up at Lake Elsinore.
We saw both of those cats.
Yeah, we did. Center fielder Buddy Reed is also eligible to be selected in the Rule 5 draft. You don't really know any of these names, although, man, it's not just the Dodgers who have great named prospects. Like, the Washington Nationals have a guy named Sterling Sharp.
Great, I mean,
just like the football player. Let's see, the Cardinals have Max Schrock.
Sounds Cardinal-esque.
Yep. Let's see, the Mariners have L.J. Newsome, and it's just spelled L-J-A-Y. L.J.
L.J.
L.J. L.J.
That's great.
Let's see. The Pirates have Lolo Sanchez.
Are you running out of ideas, by the
Phillies
way?
Phillies Rodolfo Duran.
You're running out of ideas, aren't you?
Ooh, Griffin Jacks is available from the Minnesota Twins, along with Wander Javier.
Ben is running out of content here.
Zach Brown is available for the Brewers. He's got a nice band.
I wonder. Let me just set the scene here at the winter meetings. Just listen.
Tampa Bay Rays table, finally.
Listen.
It's not as
it's deafening.
Not as busy as it was earlier.
I look behind us, and the MLB Network crew is taking down their set. So I the first thing I thought of is, what the hell is Coach Quintero going to do here for 4 hours? When he gets here at 10 in an hour, he's going to be here soon.
He's a pro. He will make it work, Woodsy.
He will be interviewing the baristas down at the coffee shop.
Is he going to do a whole – there's going to be – I don't think there's going to be
any
guests.
It's not like it's radio. It's not like we couldn't do the same show here that we did in the studio. There's nothing special we have in the studio that makes this show work.
Right now, if we were dying like this back in the studio, I'd say, Paul, start playing clips of Ben flubbing on the air, and then that would be funnier than you reading off lists of names. And I just wonder – like,
auto roan rates.
There you go.
Jordan can do it back just as well as Paul can do it. Paul may be a little faster on the trigger finger.
That's
but
amazing.
Jordan's competent back
well
there as
done,
well.
Jordan.
So you're not really missing out on too much. I did want to get into the
will Coach drink the scotch?
Will Coach drink the scotch? Yeah.
Cheers, mates.
Jordan! Careful, Paulie. You might get Wally pipped, man.
Rob Manfred did his annual news conference at the winter meetings yesterday. A couple of bits of news came out of it. They're extending the netting at a bunch of ballparks again. Safety issues, of course, always first and foremost on the minds. There's some news coming out about opioid testing for Major League Baseball players.
Yeah, man.
Certainly timely after the death of Tyler Skaggs of the Angels last year. Also, in exchange, the minor leaguers are no longer going to be tested for marijuana, so you're going to have a lot of fun in the minors this coming season.
Well, I mean, they can't really afford marijuana, so I think let's just throw it out there. You guys can also do cocaine if you want.
There was also obviously a lot of talk about the investigation into the Houston Astros' potential sign-stealing cheating scandals, and the investigation is ongoing. Here's what Rob Manfred had to say yesterday about MLB's investigation into the Astros.
I think that this is probably the most thorough investigation that the commissioner's office has ever undertaken. I think we've interviewed already nearly 60 witnesses, 76,000 emails, a whole additional trove of instant messages. That review has caused us to conclude that we have to do some follow-up interviewing. It is my hope to conclude the investigation just as promptly as possible, but it's really hard to predict how long something like that is going to take. At this point in the investigation, it would be wholly inappropriate for me to speculate about, you know, what types of discipline might be in play. I'm going to get all the facts in front of me and, you know, make a decision as promptly as possible on discipline, and obviously you all will know about it as soon as it happens.
So, Woodsy, they've done, 60 interviews. They're going through over 70,000
76,000
emails. They're not just looking at 2019, but they're starting to pull on the threads of 2018 and maybe even before as well. And they're basically calling this the most thorough investigation Major League Baseball has ever embarked on. And it's not going to be done until at least next year. Because they want to get it right.
Yeah. I think that's, it's got to be done. I mean, they did find emails already from one guy talking about, you know, laying out strategies. Hey, guys, if you can figure out a way to cheat out there at spring training, let us know. And so, you know, look, 76,000 emails. The fact that they put even anything in writing is bananas. And the thing I wonder, too, Benny, Carlos Beltran has been named as a guy, along with Alex Cora, as two of the guys that kind of created this thing under A.J. Hinch when they were coaches there in Houston. And you wonder, both of those guys have really high-profile jobs, Cora being with the Red Sox and of course, Beltran, the new manager for the Mets. You wonder, is anything going to fall back on them at all? Like, how's that going to work?
It seems to me, if you looked at any organization, whether it be Major League Baseball, another pro sport, any business, with that much scrutiny, look at that many emails, there's probably going to be some things you don't like that come out in an investigation that is as wide-reaching with as grand a scope as Rob Manfred seemed to indicate. I'm definitely be very nervous right now if I'm the Houston Astros, if I work for them, if I'm a fan of the team, if I'm A.J. Hinch. Punishments are coming.
Yeah.
There's just no way you can avoid it at this point. Major League Baseball appears to be taking this seriously, which is all you can ask for. You know, you don't want to rush to judgment. You want the right judgment.
Yep.
And they're getting down to the facts, and they're going to find out what's going on.
Just to let you guys know, I'm now done with Entercom. I've just been picked.
Is this real?
Yeah.
I'm looking at the Rule 5 draft.
I just got Rule 5.
Fourth overall pick by the Kansas City Royals, Stephen Woods.
Yep. Off, I was on the Tampa
right
Bay
after
roster.
Sterling Sharp yep. went to the Marlins.
Good knowing you guys. I'm out of here. Right-handed pitcher Stephen Woods picked up.
But do they know you only threw like 67?
Who did they? Who did?
You got you the Rays. City. The Rays lost you, and the Kansas City Royals picked you up.
Man, it's a big day for me. Big day for me.
Now that's good news. You get kept on. You have to be kept on the major league roster.
I'm a big leaguer now
for the entire year. So you get to be in Kansas City. You get to make the major league minimum. I mean, they can hide you in the bullpen, and you don't have to use you very much.
That's pretty much what my teams
I want that
do to
job.
Me now.
That's a great job if you
it
can
is.
Get it. Rule 5 draft pick is a perfect job.
Padres lose right-handed pitcher Trevor McGill to the Cubs in the major league phase of the Rule 5 draft from Jeff Sanders just now.
I think he throws hard.
Trevor McGill?
That's if I remember anything about him, and that's pretty much a given at this point for minor league arms in the year 2019.
The coach is here.
I think he throws hard.
Coach, you want to do a 45-minute crossover? It is a morgue in here right
Trevor
now.
Trevor McGill, by the way,
dead.
According to the guys at Mad Friars, right-handed pitcher, solid command, finally got his pre-Tommy John surgery velocity back in the last year. Thinks that he has a good chance to stick with the Cubs on their 26-man roster.
Well,
and
no choice right now. So that's good. It's good to see guys get opportunities, Benny. Do you think? And we still think the Padres won't do anything today. Right?
They don't have a room on the
roster,
they'd have to cut Ian Kinsler or someone if they wanted to make a selection. So
another second baseman could be out there. Ben Jed Lowry.
Now remember, if they don't keep him, they got to offer you back at double the price, so the Padres could make a profit on
there
that.
There you go.
If they do that, so.
Should we just announce every pick as they happen through the Rule 5 draft?
Now that's good radio right there. Okay, coming up next.
Give it the full Stephen A. Smith.
Love
the
it.
Sixth, can you with imagine? The sixth pick of the 2019 Rule 5 draft, the Reds select Athletics outfielder Mark Payton.
Corey Stewart just texted me and said, you're not passing that physical. I don't know that you know what kind of game shape I'm in right now, Corey Stewart.
Been training for the media game.
I have been training a lot.
Oh, we got a new pick.
At Hardcore Fitness.
Everybody stop. With the seventh pick of the 2019 Rule 5 draft, the Giants select right-handed pitcher Danny Jimenez from the Blue Jays.
He's got good stuff. He throws hard. You know, command is an issue for him. You know, secondary pitch slider is coming around.
He's going to fit in, though, with
He'll
the Blue
fit
Jays
in there with
rotation.
What they're trying to do. You know, Blue Jays right now are struggling, and I think any power arm like what was his name, Danny Jimenez. I think he's going to fit in nicely there, like Ben said, with that 26 man. So
Grant Brisby's doing the whole Stephen A. Smith. To me, that's preposterous. Things of that nature.
Who's doing this?
Grant Brisby. The draft shtick from Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah.
Taking that guy with the fifth pick is preposterous.
Well, listen, it's the Rule 5 draft. It's maybe the most boring thing in all of sports, especially for us now.
Hey, but we are covering it.
We are covering it. But I have made some enemies back at the Intercom building today.
Yeah.
And Hammer had let us know a little bit about that. Right. That's something I want to get to the bottom
of. All right, we'll get to that coming up next.
Me making enemies at the Intercom building. What a shock.
Here with Ben and Wood. Shocker. Live from the winter meetings on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Shocker.
Want to know what's going on with the Padres? This is coverage of the 2019 MLB winter meetings. Presented by your San Diego Honda dealers on San Diego's number one sports station. Station 97.3 The Fan.
Wrapping up our coverage on Ben and Woods of the 2019 MLB winter meetings. And Woodsy, I think the Rule 5 draft pick is over, so you don't have to sit through us just reading off the names, which is exciting.
Oh, it's already done.
Yeah, I think it's wrapped up. I think it was very quick. You're going to see these executives start streaming out to their flights to get back home. Now, there's still a lot of work to be done this offseason. There's players who remain unsigned. There's trades that could still be made. I'd be very surprised if the Padres didn't have at least a couple more moves up their sleeve before we get to spring training here in a couple of months.
I certainly hope so, Ben. I think there are a lot of needs that need to be addressed, but right now I wanted to get the Hammer on the phone here, on the line, if you will. Hammer, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, so what's going on back in the building? Apparently I caused quite a stir by saying I'm bringing my son to the Intercom Christmas party.
Yeah,
who's upset about seeing
Can't
Bo
say Christmas.
There.
The war on Christmas.
We got John from KSON and Rob from Kixie.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a bunch of outrage going on because they don't
Both
believe...
of those guys are alcoholics, so I'm not surprised that they're upset.
Yeah, and they don't want...
my kid's not going to drink any of their alcohol, so they'll be fine.
Yeah, but you can't be drunk around kids. It's frowned upon in this establishment.
It is true. You feel like you have to be on better behavior.
Well, I just won't go.
When youngsters are around.
I can't find a sitter. So, you know, I just won't.
But
I just
then
won't
again,
come.
Does that rule apply when the toddler curses more than some of the adults?
That is true. He is a foul-mouthed little sailor. My son, Bo, is almost 2 years old. And yeah, I didn't know. So I think they just needed on-air material today.
No, this is off-the-air material.
That's off-the-air. So
yeah.
They're really upset that I'm bringing my son.
They're furious almost. Yeah.
My son is he's dynamic. He's fun. He's kind of the life of the party, even more so than his old man is now. And I just wonder.
I could use him to distract. You know, I'm not good at small talk conversations.
God, you don't like talking to people.
Fellow coworkers, but I can always. Have you met Bo Woods?
Yes.
Just to, get them in a conversation.
He's somebody's name in the building that you know.
Right.
So that's good. That would be good for you. So how mad are they?
They just don't understand the whole point of why you would want to bring a children to a Christmas party. They just don't understand.
It's a company Christmas party at a radio station's office facility. It's not like it's at, the strip club. Or at a big fancy restaurant where they're going to be annoying. It's an office.
What workplace host their holiday party at a strip club?
Booty, 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 rocking everywhere.
Strip clubs, number one, I think.
Even they probably go somewhere else to hold their holiday.
They go to Dave and Buster's. Yeah.
That would be legendary.
It would
be
amazing. You're like, wait. Isn't every night a Christmas party if you work at a strip club, I think. But well, that's fine. We just won't come. The Woods family shan't be making an appearance at the Intercom company Christmas party, which is probably for the best, right?
I just I'm picturing the invitation.
They're like, wait, Dave & Buster's? You know we are at a strip club,
this
right?
Year, the Intercom holiday party will be at Les Girls. The Midway District.
Can you imagine?
Yes, I can.
The backlash.
I remember, I don't even know if it's still there. It's been a while since I've driven by. On the way, we'd go to Clippers games when I was young. You know, I was like 6, 7 years old. And I always feel a little weird.
A little seedy.
Driving by.
You duck your head. You don't want your dad and your grandfather looking at you looking at Les Girls. Dude, I've been there. I've been there 100 times. Like, remember when you were a kid and you're watching? So it's funny you mentioned this. I was watching last night. Bull Durham was on. And I'm dying for any baseball. So I'm watching Bull Durham. And I remember back to the time I was probably 12 years old and I watched Bull Durham with my dad. And, oh, my God. I mean, the uncomfortable feeling, because it's very sexual. It's very sexual. It is like
awesome.
It is the connection between sex and baseball. I mean, that's pretty much what that whole movie's overriding theme is. And I'm watching that with my dad, just like hand up over the eye, so uncomfortable. Don't want to look at him, knowing he's looking at me, looking at that. So I can definitely relate. But, yeah, Hammer, listen, I mean, I've seen other children running around the office in a work setting. You know, I thought that was kind of the thing. Family friendly. Apparently, it is not.
Well, you're
What kind of Christmas party are we having? Are there going to be topless women handing out drinks? Are there going to be blow there? Like, what are we doing?
Let's be honest. Woods is going to be there for 45 minutes.
He'll fall asleep if he's there any longer than that. I guess there's a band playing, and I won't see the band.
Will you spend more time at the party or in traffic?
In traffic. 100% in traffic. So, I mean, if we're not wanted, then we just won't come. It's no big deal.
It's just Bo that's not wanted. You're fine.
Which is ridiculous.
But he should be there before I should be.
Absolutely.
You know? So that's...
My prediction is that Bo Woods will be the most popular attendee at the party tonight.
Bo may take one of the sales girls home.
I think that's what they're afraid of.
That is a possibility for him. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me one bit. The kid spits mad game already. And he'll probably have his little Uggs on. I mean, he's going to crush, but it's fine. I mean, we don't have to come if it's a big deal.
Either way, I'm not going.
You're not coming.
I'm not going no matter what.
He's in Nordstrom tonight.
Nah, that sucks.
It really
but
doesn't,
I think
though.
We're all going to be there. So
well,
you have
except
to come.
Me.
You have to come.
Except me.
Good conversation.
Great conversation.
Right, 30 more minutes.
Should I pull out some of my notes?
Are you in baseball? No. All right.
I can pull out the notes.
Please don't pull the notes out.
I can pull out the notes. No. Actually, you know what? There was a moment I enjoyed last night. It had to do with Kawhi Leonard going back to Toronto to get his championship.
Well, you asked yesterday. Are they going to boo Kawhi?
They're Canadians.
They're going to
cheer up
him.
And they chanted MVP. And it was a nice moment. They did the starting lineups. They introduced the other four Clippers. And then it was saved Kawhi for last.
Yep.
And the PA announcer gave it the big end, Kawhi Leonard. And he went, and they all lined up, his former teammates. And he gave all, you know, hug, you know, to each one. And when he got to Kyle Lowry at the end, who is his real good bud, Kyle Lowry had his championship ring and handed it to him. And the other thing they did, which was awesome, is they played like a little montage video. And it included that game-winning Game 7 shot in the Eastern Conference Finals where he, you know, that amazing somehow it rattled in.
The shot.
What they did is they took the arena dark at Scotiabank Arena, and as they were playing the video, like they lit the footsteps of his path all the way to the shot.
That's
on the floor.
That's amazing.
They absolutely loved it. I mean, most players, when you leave in free agency, It kind of irks the town you're leaving. It's like, what was wrong with us? Why didn't you stay with us? You know, what did we not do that drove you away? Not the case with Toronto. They seem very appreciative for the 1 year that Kawhi was there and headed off to Los Angeles.
Well, it's the thing we talk about, you know, being in San Diego the most, Ben, is that major championship, you know, coming to San Diego. We're obviously not going to have a chance to win one in hockey, we're not going to have a chance to win one in football. We're not going to have a chance to win one in basketball. We don't have a chance to win one in college football. It's the only major championship we have, our beloved San Diego Padres. So think about this. Is there anybody in Major League Baseball right now that you would boo if they came in and helped the Padres win one stinking World Series? Just one. Is there one player that you despise and
then they left?
And then they left.
don't know. I mean, if they came in and they left and they signed a big money
deal
with
the Dodgers. They were a mercenary.
I mean, this is exactly what Kevin Brown did it. Kevin Brown came in 1 year.
But he did not win a title.
He got to the World Series, yep. Was great. Went to the Dodgers for big money, and people were, like, throwing cash at him.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was ugly in 1999 again, when he came back with the Dodgers.
I honest to God think, had that World Series been won in 1998, that reception in 99 would have been different. Do you think that would have been the same?
I don't know. Going to the rival, though.
But you got it. You won it.
It's different going from Toronto to Los Angeles. It's a different country. It's a different coast.
Yeah.
It's way away. You're only playing them, you know, once a year coming back. You're not coming back 10 times,
yep,
and having to see him over and over again, sticking it to you. I do think there is a difference. If he had gone to, like, the 76ers or the Celtics, maybe a rival of the Raptors,
I still doubt it, man. That,
friendly.
That team, that Raptors team captivated that entire city, man. They went nuts for that team last year, and I think they totally understand why he did what he had to do. And, you know, if we got our one here, there's nobody. I mean, it's just that one. It's getting that one off your back, and it's going to be a fun day when that happens here.
Still, Raptors still good, although the Clippers won that game 112-92. Lakers won for the 13th time in 14 games.
God, they're hot.
It was more of a defensive game. No big point scores. 96-87 over the Orlando Magic. Offense, you're looking for. James Harden scored 55.
Wow.
You know, the guy just scores. And
he's a scorer.
I'm kind of over it a little bit.
I know you are.
It's like, yeah, Harden scored a lot of points. Great.
Kevin Thompson tweets in and says, Ben and Wood's running on fumes right now. You hate to see it. That means he likes to see it. Right? I've learned that from Dodger fans.
We've been running on fumes for 4 hours. What's he talking about?
We've been running on fumes for 4 days, to be honest with you, Paul.
I've been running on fumes for 2 years.
You guys got any money on you? I'm going to go pander for some guests. Just one person to come up here and join.
We'll make it to the finish line.
We got 30 minutes.
We got one segment left. We're going to make it to the finish line here. Let's talk about what the Padres still need to do now that the meetings are over and what's still left to accomplish the rest of this offseason. That'll come up next with Ben and Woods right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
We're live from sunup to sundown, covering the 2019 MLB Winter Meetings, presented by your San Diego Honda dealers on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
All right, Woods, I got a little breaking news for you from the winter meeting.
I love it.
It's not earth-shattering, but it is somewhat amusing. The Padres, just in the AAA, the minor league portion of the Rule 5 draft, took a left-handed pitcher named Brady Fagel, F-E-I-G-L. You might have seen this before, though. Here's the interesting thing about Brady Fagel. There's two guys with the exact same name in baseball named Brady Fagel, and not only do they have the exact same name, they could almost be twins. Look at these two guys. They're both redheads with beards.
Oh, my God.
They almost look identical, and they have the exact same name. They're
Tweet
both
that.
Brady Fagel.
That is actually quite terrifying.
And the Padres now have one of them, and I've got no clue which one they've got.
From the guy with
because
the Rangers,
there really
right?
is no way to basically tell them apart.
Holy smokes.
They've done a DNA test. They're not related.
That's
shocking. They share some Germanic ancestry, but no DNA shared. They just have the same name, the same look, and the same profession of minor league baseball player. Let's see. I think we got the 6'4" pitcher for the A's, not the 6'4" pitcher for the Texas Rangers.
That is fascinating. I mean, they really do. They really, really do look like they could be identical twins.
So that's the newest Padre minor leaguer in the minor league portion of the Rule 5 draft. Last bit here from the winter meetings. Padres obviously didn't do much while they were here.
Right.
Doesn't mean that A.J. Preller didn't lay the groundwork for other moves that might still be coming, but they're just not going to announce anything during these winter meetings. So what do you expect to see between now and opening day, between now and spring training, the holes that still need to be filled, the moves that you'd still like to see the Padres make?
I would like to see them. I would like to see them trade for another outfielder. I would like to see that. There were a couple names mentioned by the Texas Rangers, and I believe one of them's already been traded. Mazzara, was it Nomar? Nomar Mazzara.
Nomar Mazzara.
Yeah, left-handed power guy. He went to the White Sox for a pretty good prospect, but I think a left-handed stick is what they need. In the outfield. I don't know who that person is. I don't know who he is, where he exists. I just know that that's not my job to really know what they're targeting. I know that people are talking about Marte. Marte's a righty. So I would like to see maybe one more outfielder, Ben, and I would not mind seeing a couple of more arms. I think position-wise, you pretty much know around the infield what you're going to do. The catching situation's obviously up in the air. I think if A.J. Preller can improve the catching situation, he will. I just don't know who that catcher is other than Wilson Contreras, and I don't know that I'm giving up the Chicago Cubs asking price for Wilson Contreras right
while
now.
While I know they've already addressed the bullpen partially with the signing of Drew Pomeranz, I do think that that's secretly going to be maybe the area where the Padres can take the biggest leap next year. They're still going to have young pitchers, Chris Paddock, Denelson Lamet. If you have Joey Lucchese in the rotation, a lot of things about some of the pitchers that the Padres have in the rotation, they're not great the third time facing an order.
Right.
Pretty good first two times through the order. Get to the third time, they get rocked pretty hard.
That's baseball in 2019.
It is baseball in 2019, but that means you kind of need those sixth and seventh inning pitchers to get those leads to the closer. That you've got a great closer, you got a great maybe eighth inning guy now in Pomeranz.
Well, I know Craig Stammen's been much maligned, but he did eat up a ton of innings for you, and he's probably out the door. Saw a couple of teams interested in Craig Stammen. You're going to have to replace those innings somewhere. I mean, hopefully the productivity is better than it was with Stammen last year. Stammen was good the year before. But you do wonder who's going to eat those innings. I don't think it's going to be one of those 20-year-olds.
Yeah, I mean, you have some young options that you can bring up, but I don't know that you want to just rely on – that's what the Padres have done the last couple of years. You just rely on those young arms. That has a tendency to burn you as those guys, try to figure out their role in Major League Baseball. So veteran in the bullpen would not shock me.
Did I hear that guys like Morejon and Baez, they're going to try to push them back to being starters?
We saw them in a relief role near the end of last season. Baez did pretty well. Morejon was kind of scuffled, and then he got shut down.
Yep.
Both are healthy now, but A.J. Preller says they've been working to be starters in the minors. We just brought them up
for a
chance to see some Major League competition
yep.
out of the bullpen, but we really want them to be starters, so they're going back to that role.
Well, then there's two more pieces. There's two more pieces in the pen, so adding to the bullpen is a pretty – guys, it's a pretty cost effect. You can do it on the cheap. And again, A.J. Preller, you have to give him credit over the years, has done a really good job. And I think Darren Balsley has a lot to do with that as well. At adding guys to the bullpen that can help this team win ball games, eat innings, all of those things that you so desperately need. Again, they're not going to be in major contention next year. So, I'm with you, Benny. I'd like to upgrade the bullpen a little bit, and I'd like to upgrade the outfield. And, we'll see on the catching thing. I'm seeing varying reports. One guy says they're in on trading for a catcher. The next guy says they're not, and they like what they have.
I want to throw this out because we're really just over a month away now. You and Paul are scheduled to go back to Peoria for
yes.
the second annual Padres Fantasy Camp. And the Padres have let us know that there's just a handful of spots left remaining if anyone wants to go out. And you guys can sell it as well as anyone, because you went last year, and I know you both legitimately
the time of my life.
Had a spectacular time while you were there last year, and they've got some new names, some of the new legends that are going to be coming and participating this year as well.
Yeah, it is. Who's coming out this year?
Trevor Hoffman, Tony Gwynn Jr., Jake Peavy, Wally Joyner.
Wow.
Andy Ashby is going to be back. You guys had so much fun with Andy Ashby.
The best.
Like, it was ridiculous last year. As part of the once-in-a-lifetime experience, campers receive their own dedicated locker in the big league clubhouse, which is amazing. An authentic Padres uniform. Not necessarily, we're told, like the brand-new Browns, but it will be authentic, whatever
yes.
it is.
Well, because at first I heard it and I kind of flinched a little bit and said, oh, man, I want the new ones. They don't want – here's – put yourself in their shoes. They got these new uniforms. It took them forever to get to this point. And the first guy they roll out in the uniforms, Paul Reindel, is the first guy in the brown and the road pinstripes. No, it's going to – the first time you're going to see those guys, opening day – 2020.
But they're going to have spring training versions
yeah, we're gonna have
of
some
the
spring training
and stuff, and I'm pretty sure you're going to get those. By the way, 100% of the net proceeds benefit the Padres Foundation.
It is awesome.
So you're also supporting a good cause by going out there as well.
And I can't tell you guys enough what a special experience.
You get to eat in the big league cafeteria
you
there.
You eat, you drink, you play. and you
the training facilities are amazing. You got the workouts in the morning, the stuff that they did in the medical area.
It's the best time I ever had in my life. I can't believe I get to go back.
So there are a couple, you know, some handful of spots. Go to Padres.com/fantasy camp if you are interested in reserving your spot today.
It's unbelievable. It really is such an unbelievable time.
Got 15 more minutes.
Oh, yeah.
We're not done yet.
No, this is, I thought you were taking over at this point.
What did you want me to do? Let's talk to the coach. How about that?
It's a long time to talk to. He's got enough. He's got his own 4 hours to fill.
Fine, that's his problem, right? We got ours, though.
All right.
Hi, Coach.
Here comes the coach, John Quintero, presented by Wingly Buddha Style Chicken, found in Sinley Foods. It's a lifestyle coach, not a fad.
Hey, I feel good about being a special guest where you have to read the liner there. That's a good job, Benny.
That's because it's been a little quiet this hour in terms of guests.
You guys look
drowning
a little bit. You guys look a little tired.
Yeah.
You know, you're getting up early, and I certainly understand that, having to do this show until they figured out that they were going to hire a YouTube character.
Oh, my God.
Well, for me, I guess the difference is I'm not getting up any later. Even though we're on an hour later, getting down here and everything,
right.
I still have to get up the same time I do every morning. And then we've got this extra hour at the end that I'm – at this point, I'm usually kind of brain off.
Mentally checked out.
Basically.
I remember one time years ago I was working with John Ireland and Steve Mason, and we were over at the Lowe's in Coronado. And we
live broadcast,
yep. 5 to 10.
5 to 10, five-hour show.
5 hour show. And, you know, I was all fired up like I normally am.
Yeah.
And I looked at Steve and I looked at John as we got going into the 9 o'clock hour. Those guys both look comatose.
I'm dead right now.
Yeah.
I've been a little under the weather, but I can do you one better, Coach. When I first started in radio in San Diego in 2010, the guy that I worked for did a 28-hour show. 28 hours, no commercial breaks. We would play some best-of stuff just to give us a little breather.
Right.
But 28 hours straight, full of bits and out doing man-on-the-street type stuff. The 28 hours of radio, and it was all to raise money.
What did you do to deserve that?
That's exactly right. And I remember the first year he said, hey, whatever you do, don't drink Red Bull, don't get all hopped up and, you know, early.
And craft.
And I said, yeah, no problem. And 6 hours in, I'm pounding Red Bulls. 12 hours in, and he wouldn't let you sleep either. There was no sleep. So we would watch movies on television at night, and the listeners would tune in to the movie that we were watching, and we would provide, like, audio commentary. And at one point, I started to doze off, and he was elbowing me. He made me stay up. By the end of it, I was weeping. I was so emotionally fraught with everything that I was, my nerves were exposed. I was weeping on the air. It was crazy.
It's not long, but when I first got started, and I helped produce the coach's night show, way back in the old mighty 690 days, 8 to 12 midnight. You know, like, you don't even see those time slots anymore for a local radio host.
Right.
We were up late. Every night.
That was a good station in those days. Too bad some people had a brainstorm to break it up. And when they broke it up, the station that they wanted to drive the ratings went out of business in 6 months. So that was a real brain surgeon move.
Yeah, as usual. I mean, that's exactly what happens. Well, Coach, so we were wondering, we've been out here again since 6 this morning here at the winter meetings, and you've had a killer week, just full of
phenomenal. Well, likewise. You guys did a great job. I really enjoyed driving down here.
We've had a blast being here. My first winter meetings, definitely won't be my last. And what do you guys have coming today? It's getting a little bit sparse around here, but what do you guys plan?
Yeah, just make sure that you've got some outer guests.
We're going to replay a couple of great interviews. We're going to replay your Mad Dog Russo interview.
So
that's
fun.
Smart.
I had Joe Torre for about 10 minutes at the end of my show on Monday.
I put that back on again.
We're
going to
put
heartbeat.
That back on, and I think we're going to play Scott Boras. You guys played that this morning. I heard bits and pieces yesterday. I heard a lot of it this morning. We're going to replay that. That was really good stuff.
It really was, man.
And you know
what?
He's
an open guy. I mean, when you're that good at what you do, you can kind of afford
it. I didn't know he played minor league baseball.
Yeah, I didn't either.
No, I believe he's a left-hand hitter. He actually, from what I know, he was actually a pretty good player. He had some injuries that kind of cut his career short and, swung the bat. I know he came up originally in the Cardinal organization, yep. and he was a pretty good ball player. I mean, his son played at USC a few years back. He was a shortstop, and, you know, he's been around the game. You know, some people say Scott Boras has been good for the game. Some people say he's been bad for the game. But the bottom line, he gets results for his client. And at the end of the day, that's all that really matters.
So what do you think, Coach? You saw the move last night. I know you guys are going to talk about it today, but I thought Rendon to the Angels, I really thought he was going to be a Texas Ranger. But, of course, because it makes so much sense, it doesn't happen. And that's just kind of the way that things sometimes go in this game. But Rendon in that lineup obviously makes them extremely more potent. It makes Mike Trout better if you can fathom that right now. But they're still shot on pitching. Their bullpen is a mess. Their starting five is really a mess. Ohtani, you can't really rely on him to be the ace of the rotation. Do you think that they're not done? Do you think they're going to go out and get a Mad Bum or somebody like that?
I think they have to. And, you know, I go back to Ohtani because when I was working for John Boggs a few years ago, I did a lot of research.
A lot of legwork.
Matt Marks and I, and Matt's still working for John now, we did a lot of work. And Matt actually went over to Japan. And, you know, you couldn't talk to Ohtani at all. I mean, you couldn't get close to him. He was guarded better than the president, to be honest with you. And nobody from the organization was allowed to talk to anybody outside the organization about Ohtani at that point in time. But, you know, I did a lot of research on him. And most people felt that he was going to do really well over here pitching. A lot of scouts kind of question whether or not he would really make it as an offensive player. And I'll be honest with you, he's done a hell of a job swinging the bat.
Do you guys remember his first spring training when he was like 1-for-38 or something?
Yeah, it's kind of like Ichiro was that first year with Seattle, and everybody thought they were going to knock the bat out of that guy's hands at spring training when Ichiro came over here.
I mean, and Ohtani comes up, and everyone's like, oh, what a bust. What a bust this guy is. I mean, some of the people,
Well, not only that, Steve.
He was terrible.
Well, not only that, he was struggling pitching.
Yeah.
And in fact, he was so bad, they took him out of the big league games and put him on the backfields where, you know, people had to really make an effort to go see him pitch. And, you know, then he hit the ground running and did a great job. Unfortunately, he got hurt. But
sandbagging SOB.
The character that Ohtani, and again, I've done a lot of research on him, high character
big
guy.
Time.
Wants to be the best in the game. And, you know, I think if he comes back healthy and can pitch a little bit but swing the bat, and there's even talk. Joe Maddon, there was a story the
other
day
this
about,
morning.
You know, they may let him swing the bat in the days he's pitching.
Why not?
I know Ron Fowler is impatient, wants to get a winner. You know, heads will roll if they don't win this year. Artie Moreno is not necessarily he's not as outspoken necessarily as Ron Fowler. But I don't think he's known for his patience. And if heads are rolling in San Diego, Billy Epler's head's probably already under the guillotine in Anaheim if they don't start winning soon.
Ben, it's interesting you bring that up. Braden and I, you know, we parked over to Lexus lot and we walked over together today, and we're talking about the Rendon signing. And I told Braden, I go, you know, this is an Artie Moreno signing. And I go, at this point in time, I would certainly think Billy Epler's taking his marching orders right now from Artie Moreno.
Once he didn't get Gerrit Cole, I mean, it's like, what are you going to do? I mean, you got your owner who's going, we need a big splash.
Yeah.
He had, we got to get Rendon. We have to get Rendon.
Not only that, Billy Epler did not get a contract extension.
No, he's...
And, you know, right now, you know, he could be back in San Diego next time, living back in his hometown if he doesn't find a way to get some pitching. They got to find some pitching. You know, the Dodgers, they signed a pretty good guy yesterday. He had a bad 2019, Blake Treinen, but you go back and look at his numbers in 2018.
Ridiculous.
He was great.
Yeah, he was filthy.
But speaking of, if you want to declare winners and losers from the winter meetings, the Dodgers certainly have to be included in the losers category. They came with a list. They had Gerrit Cole on their list. They had Anthony Rendon on their list. They may have had Steven Strasburg on their list, and they're walking away 0-for-3. And, you know, you got plenty of money. They just didn't have the guts, I think, to get it done.
Well, I don't know about that, but I know they're still working on trying to get Francisco Lindor, and all of a sudden they get Francisco Lindor. They look like pretty good winners
right now. Or they go 0-for-4.
Hey, let's remember something. The Dodgers really don't have to do anything, and they're still by far the best team in the National League West.
I said that earlier. I said they came into these winter meetings as probably the best team in the league. Even with the Washington Nationals losing Rendon, you probably say that the Dodgers have the best roster. They're leaving with the best roster in the National League. They didn't have to do anything. At the same time, if I am a Dodgers fan,
I'm mad.
I am a little worried. Last trade deadline, they could have gone out and gotten one more bullpen piece, you know, overpaid for a Kirby Yates. That might have put him in the World Series. It might have won him a World Series. They chose not to do it. They held on to their prospects. They come into the winter meetings. They've got the checkbook open. They don't get it done. That player that might be the difference between them, you know, not getting to the World Series or winning a World Series, they're very close, but unlike other teams that once they get close seem to, okay, let's go all in, the Dodgers seem to be afraid to push those chips into the middle of the
table.
Well,
it's going to cost them chips now, though.
Well, I mean, it's going to cost them chips, but I'm going to tell you right now, just having been around some of the Dodger riders, and, you know, we had Stan Kasten, the part owner and president, on the other day. He kind of let off Monday for me. And, you know, he doesn't, and this guy at one time was the general manager of the Atlanta Thrashers, the Atlanta Hawks, and the Atlanta Braves.
My
all
God.
One time. I mean, I don't know how he did it, but at the end of the day, I'm getting the feeling from the Dodgers, they are so frustrated, they're so agitated that they have not won a World Series. They feel almost desperate right now.
Yeah.
They're going to make some kind of move. It may not be before I get off the air today at 2 o'clock, but I have a feeling they're still got something up
their sleeve. Coach, you can be a little too smart for baseball, though, sometimes.
I agree.
Because the Dodgers are smart in a way, like they don't want to overpay because it's dumb to overpay, right?
Yep.
You value a guy. You say, okay, this is what he's valued at. We're not going to go above that. That's smart baseball. You value your own prospects. You build up from the minor leagues. You want to see those guys succeed. That's smart baseball. But sometimes you get a little too smart because to win, you occasionally have to do a dumb move. Sometimes you do have to overpay to get that last piece.
But the thing is once you win, it's no longer a dumb move. That's the thing. Once you win, that dumb move of giving Gavin Lux for Kirby Yates doesn't seem so dumb anymore because you're raising a banner. You're raising the World Series championship banner.
Washington Nationals, it wasn't a signing, but were just criticized for how they handled Steven Strasburg early in his career, shutting him down in the playoffs.
Yep.
And for many years, the talk was, you had your one chance and you blew it.
Rizzo.
Now they look like a genius.
Rizzo was out the door in Washington 700 times. They wanted him gone, and look at him now. I mean, again, the dumb move is no longer dumb once you win a World Series. If they can't, you know, and look, obviously Tatis is off the table, but if somebody came to us and they said, we want X, 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 and X for X, and X wins us a World Series, forget it. It's not a dumb move. It may have been an overpay at the time, but once you get that title, man, that's the only thing that matters.
Here's the deal on Rizzo. Rizzo is a good old-fashioned baseball scout.
Yeah.
And he's put this team together with good old-fashioned baseball people. I mean, you look at a guy like Anthony Rendon, who's now going to be with the Angels, maybe the best situational hitter in baseball.
Yep.
Because he's not afraid to use right field and right center field. He'll do what he needs to do, but you look at what he's done the last 2 years. Last year when Harper ended up leaving, everybody said, oh, well, they'll get Rendon signed to a long-term deal. No, he had to make a choice. He's always going to go with pitching. He signed Scherzer several years ago, that long-term deal. He signed Corbin last year. He signed Strasburg.
He loves pitching,
He's an old-school baseball guy. Yep. You win with pitching.
Coach, you'll remember this because I think it might have even been the 1997 winter meetings before the 1998 season. When the Padres gave up Derek Lee for Kevin Brown, a lot of people said, wow, that is a huge overpay for a one-year rental. You're giving up one of the top prospects in the league, a guy who a lot of people thought was going to be a surefire star.
He was the number one draft
pick,
and a guy that went on and had a very nice career. But you know what? You ask probably 75, 80% of Padre fans, they don't even remember Derek Lee, but they remember Kevin Brown.
In baseball talk, that's kind of the dumb move. But sometimes, like I'm saying, you have to make that dumb move because it's the last one that you need to put you over the top.
Well, some of these general managers, they can't wait 2 or 3 years because you know what? They may not be making that move.
Yeah.
You know what? I was telling my wife last night, A.J. Preller has done so many wonderful things for this organization. I know they've made some bad deals like every general manager. They've eaten a lot of money, the ownership.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, think about where this organization was. I know they haven't won yet, and it's going to be a while. They're not probably going to be this year unless they make a significant move on the mound and really do something dynamic. But A.J. Preller's done a lot of really, really good things, and I know time's running out on him. And, you know, whether he's here next year or not, time will tell on that. But, boy, I'll tell you this. When he does eventually leave the Padre organization, whether it's, you know, next year or 5 years from now, he's left in a lot better shape, especially with prospects and development in this organization than it was prior to that.
Coach, will we see you and Kelly at the holiday party tonight?
We will be at the holiday party tonight. I'm looking forward to it.
What are you wearing? Is this, what is it? Is business casual, holiday festive? I don't know what the dress code is.
You guys kind of know my style.
I'm wearing shorts. So no,
shorts.
Just no, I'm not coming because they won't let me bring
I'll probably wear a suit with my tie.
See, to me, that's a little over the top, for a radio
considering it's in the radio station,
Yeah.
But then you'd have to change because you're already wearing your nice clothes.
Yeah, I'm going to go home, get cleaned up, and use a little Aquavel.
You're
but
already
I'm ready
cleaned,
to roll,
you're cleaned
man.
Up already.
A little brill
He's
cream.
He's already looking sharp and put together.
I love
you
it.
You just roll straight from here to the party, and you're going to change.
I'm going to go pick the wife up, though.
That's true.
You guys are pro broadcaster.
Fight the you're going to fight the traffic back up. Yep. North County, and then fight the traffic back the other way.
Hey, I'm like a fullback. I just keep going straight ahead.
I work with one.
All right. So what are you wearing, guys, tonight?
This, probably.
Okay,
if I come at all, yeah.
We can do a little bit better.
And morning show guys have to show up. You got to set the tone for the party.
Come on, man. We got to get up at 3 a.m.
Where's the show tomorrow? We're back.
We're back in the studio. 5
to 9, regular time tomorrow. Thanks to Jordan, Hammer, Paul, Adam, everyone who's made this week possible. It's been a lot of fun on San Diego's number one sports station at the Winter Meetings, 97.3 The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.